Title: DC Circuit Strikes Down NLRB's Successor Bar Doctrine, What Employers Acquiring Unionized Businesses Need to Know. Content: Employers who acquire unionized businesses just gained a new tool, and a reminder that the ground under federal labor law is shifting fast. On July 21, 2026, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit issued its decision in Hospital Menonita de Guayama Inc. v. NLRB, refusing to enforce the National Labor Relations Board's long-standing successor bar doctrine. The court held that the board exceeded its statutory authority under the National Labor Relations Act by creating a rule that shielded an incumbent union from any challenge to its majority support for up to a year after a business changed hands. The decision is one of the first major post-Loper Bright rulings to strike down an established NLRB doctrine, and it signals that courts are increasingly willing to test board-created rules against the actual text of the National Labor Relations Act rather than defer to the board's policy judgment. Here is what employers need to know. What was the successor bar doctrine? Under the Supreme Court's decision in NLRB v. Burns International Security Services, a company that acquires a unionized business can become a successor employer and, in many cases, must recognize and bargain with the incumbent union if a majority of its workforce came from the predecessor. That successorship obligation is not what the D.C. Circuit struck down. The successor bar was a separate doctrine the board created and readopted in its 2011 decision in UGL Unico Service Co. It barred the successor employer, its employees, and any rival union from challenging the incumbent union's majority status for a reasonable bargaining period, generally 6 months to a year, after the ownership change. During that window, the union enjoyed an irrebuttable presumption of majority support, even if most employees no longer wanted it to represent them. Why the D.C. Circuit rejected the doctrine? The case arose after Hospital Menonita acquired a unionized hospital in Puerto Rico. The hospital initially recognized the incumbent union, then withdrew recognition after obtaining evidence that employees in each of five bargaining units no longer supported it. The board found the hospital committed unfair labor practices anyway, reasoning that the successor bar doctrine flatly prohibited any challenge to the union's majority status during the reasonable bargaining period. The D.C. Circuit had originally upheld the board's position. After the Supreme Court decided Loper Bright Enterprises v. Raimondo, however, the case was vacated and sent back for reconsideration, this time requiring the court to apply its own independent judgment rather than defer to the board's interpretation of the statute. On that second look, the D.C. Circuit majority concluded that the successor bar conflicts with two core protections in the National Labor Relations Act, Section 7, which guarantees employees the right to bargain collectively through representatives of their choosing, or to refrain from doing so at all, and Section 9, which requires that a union actually hold majority support before it can serve as the employee's exclusive representative. Put simply, the court found that the board cannot lean on its own policy preferences, even well-intentioned ones favoring labor relations stability, to override the statutory rights Congress wrote into the National Labor Relations Act. Why this case matters beyond successorship? For decades, courts routinely deferred to the board's interpretation of the National Labor Relations Act under the Chevron doctrine, so long as that interpretation was reasonable. Loper Bright eliminated that deference, and this decision shows what that shift looks like in practice. The D.C. Circuit asked a direct question: does the National Labor Relations Act actually authorize the successor bar? Its answer was no. Expect more challenges to other board-created doctrines that rest on policy rationale rather than statutory text, including the contract bar and voluntary recognition bar doctrines. What remains unchanged? The decision does not disturb the traditional successorship framework from Burns and its progeny. A successor employer may still be required to recognize and bargain with an incumbent union where a majority of its workforce came from the predecessor. What has changed is narrower but significant. The board can no longer catalog